Happy New Year and welcome to the Irish Wolves podcast. This is our first chat in a good while and we're trying to get the right moment to do our mid-season review with cups and replays and everything. We finally got there. So this evening we're talking all things Wolves since a couple of weeks before the season started and our hopes for the rest of the season. I'm joined by Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter and Johnny Pearl. So, as I say, Happy New Year to you all, and hope you enjoy this edition of the Irish Wolves podcast. Michael, good evening.
Anyone else in?
Gary's in there now, yeah. Actually, I was saying, it's hard to believe it's only 4 days since that the Brentford game seemed like an age ago. I think Johnny's...
You don't know what you're doing with Christmas. Every day is the one, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Gary.
How are you doing, guys?
Not doing well.
What's up? I see you're ready to go anyway.
Johnny's there.
Good afternoon, lads. What's crack?
Hey, Johnny. Gary, you're ready to go anyway, yeah? Playing with the Reds tonight.
I'm in the Reds tonight, yeah. With reversible bibs. But I'm red tonight, so I literally need to leave at 7:30, so...
Yeah, that's grand.
All set, ready for kickoff.
No better. Yeah, it's funny. You know, we're trying to get the timing right for doing this. You know, we said, the cup, we better leave it till after the cup game and see how that pans out. And that a draw, so replay. And then we're going to have Monday night and they said, we'll wait and see. And then we end up getting West Brom if we beat Brentford. So it's a bit hectic, which is, it's all kind of looking up, which I suppose where it was going to start was back in our review, we'll start back with... pre-season when we all the speculation that was going on with the manager and money where we going to was the manager going to hang around if the money wasn't available for him and a lot of uncertainty particularly in the last couple of weeks before the season started so what did you think of it looking back at the 2 weeks before the season started with I suppose the Celtic game was 2 weeks then we had another game just before. Everything appeared like the wheels were going to fall off. Do you think, Gary?
Yeah, well, I thought that the big thing was the stripping of the assets. Like, you know, the players going out left, right and centre. And you're saying, what kind of a team we're going to even have? Knowing that that was also fueling Mr. Lopetegui's kind of thinking on where he was going to go from there. Because, you know, he clearly felt that the loss of all the players was going to affect what he thought he could achieve with the group. So, yeah, it was huge uncertainty. I mean, I always thought, I didn't think he'd actually go. I thought he'd keep the pressure on. I'll go if you don't stop selling everyone or you're not going to give me some money.
Yeah.
But, and then I thought he'd just back down at the end. But actually, he didn't, you know. He went ahead with it. So, yeah, I was a bit surprised.
Yeah, the main key seemed to be that he wanted to buy players. And then out of the blue, we seemed to get landed with this. Well, we knew Neves was gone. It seemed to land then that we were going to have to sell players because of financial fair play. But Mick, what was your impression for the first those couple of weeks before the season started?
I don't buy that we were in financial trouble. I think what happened was that they were in such a pickle back in October when with the previous manager when he left that there was a huge possibility we were going to go down. And I think they panicked and they over. He went and he offered them the sun, moon and stars. And I think they realised then coming around February, March, they couldn't, it was the payments to him and his staff that they couldn't sustain it. That's the way I seen it. Because it was interesting. The first time we heard about the financial player play problem was we secure promotion. And of course, Lopetegui at that stage was looking to push ahead because he got promises to see what was coming next year. And that's when he said that the money wouldn't be there. But I thought it was interesting to listen to talk about Hobbs, is it? And he said that the conversation was that they were putting the halt, they weren't pushing ahead to try and push up the table or promotion because they didn't have the money. And that's where it all came about.
Yeah.
And It didn't matter. Like, Lopetegui knew a lot of the players, some of the players were going to be going anyway because he wanted to get in his own stock. I still don't. I thought it was interesting only a couple of weeks ago when we got into Christmas before the beginning of December. And then we had this shot from Hart saying that they wouldn't be able to, you know, they have to be tight with the money and that there may not be anything that available for January.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was putting the reins on the present manager.
But yeah.
Lucas, it was the wrong time for it to happen. And I was just, oh, of course, all sorts of shit. But at the end of the day, Lucas, it was a brilliant opportunity for, what do you call it, for O'Neill.
Yeah.
To come in there, and I must say, I've been impressed from pretty early to mom because he's honest, he's straight. He didn't go to change everything or anything. He worked himself into it.
Yeah, and he seemed to have a good look at what was there in a very short space of time. You know, Johnny, what were your impressions the first couple of weeks before the season started?
I think anyone that was optimistic going into this season would be lying, to be perfectly honest. We finally got a manager that we had tracked down for, 6 or 7 years?
Yeah.
And four days before the season, you get rid of him and you bring in Gary O'Neill, who, look, he's turned out to be a revelation, but really his stock wasn't as high as it currently is. You know, he was kind of seen as a yes man, really. And a lot of people had us down really before the start of the season. Now, I never thought we would go down because if you actually look at the players that we sold in the summer, a lot of them really weren't, bar Neves, really weren't contributing that much. Like Coutinho got sold, Adama, Raul, like all of them really never really started.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Look, it was probably the most unknown we've ever really gone into a season.
Yeah.
And while it didn't start out that well, look, we're absolutely flying now, you know?
Yeah. And the next part was when we actually started playing, the season started, and I still remember being at Old Trafford, and we actually played, we were excellent in the first game at Old Trafford. People are still talking about the penalty at the end that we didn't get, but you know, so it looked up. But then we went on to the next game, Brighton, and I think 5 minutes of madness after halftime, we got thumped in the end of it, and things kind of were a bit shaky at the start. Would it be fair to say that, Mick?
Could be nothing else because the new manager was coming in, and you know he didn't have any time to put his step on it. You were all, to me, that was always going to happen, but we were just hoping there wasn't going to continue. It takes a while to bed in. It takes a manager a while to bed in.
Yeah.
To see what he had. And he has, the problem he had was trying to work out his best team or best combinations to put together, you know. And then we had players who, we must give them great credit for, it must have been absolute mayhem behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
With managers coming in and that and changes. But look at,
yeah, and I suppose a lot of the players wouldn't have known Gary O'Neill, and I suppose they would have known Lopetegui well, but you know, who's this fella, young lad coming in, you know, might have kind of knocked the confidence a little bit. Gary, what were your, after the first few games when we were struggling, how were you feeling at that stage?
I was a bit underwhelmed by the appointment, just in broad terms. Like I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't really considered him as an option. He kind of came out of the blue.
Yeah.
I was at Old Trafford with you, if you recall. And yeah. I mean, yeah, revelation is the right word. I mean, the way we went about trying to get something out of the game was the revelation in my view. Like, you know, we were really pushing, going for it, you know? And it was quite shaky because I think the Palace performance, for example, you mentioned Brighton yourself there, a decent performance actually overall, but critical at those key moments. Yeah. And then the likes of Palace, where we just seemed to fold, and then the second half against Liverpool and, you know, Ipswich. Yeah, it was very inconsistent at the start, but there always seemed to be the possibility of us scoring.
Yeah.
And that was a kind of major difference, I thought, from the previous regime.
Yeah, you know, I funny enough, myself, normally when I'm as I say, to Mick there a couple of years ago, and we were at the Spurs game in February, you know, and we won, and I said to Mick, 40 points now, Mick, we're safe, you know. And Mick was saying, no, we're going to Europe. But, like, you know, I'd be kind of pessimistic. But, like, watch, you know, I just thought, watching us early on, even when we weren't getting the results, I thought there seemed to be a little bit of something different there. And I was kind of happy enough that we were making some sort of progress, you know.
But I think, Tony, if you go back to the pre-season, the games we had, you see, your man has come in, and a bit of credit must be given to Lopetegui, because when they came back, even we played Celtic, and then we played the French Ren. Club.
Yeah.
And we hammered them, football-wise. And he seemed to have concentrated in pre-season, because he took the pre-season in breaking the lines. We're a bit more forward. That's where he had the likes of Nunes, and he had them. They were breaking the lines quick. And that, I think Gary continued it on again, you know, because they didn't expect that type of a game.
Yeah.
And he kept at it. Obviously, he had the same wavelength as Lopetegui had in that. Because we have players who could break the lines.
Yeah.
And it's watching. It's great. To me, it's fantastic to watch.
That's good, because I think I think what a lot of people are saying, like, they're watching other teams and they're saying, look how quick they are on the break, and look how they can, you know, they can create chances out of nothing. Whereas we seem to be doing everything at kind of half pace. We weren't getting, you know, the quick break that other teams seem to be getting. But yeah, as you say, we seem to address that, and we improved on that. Johnny, your impressions of the start of the season?
Yeah, I was very worried after the Ipswich game. To be perfectly honest, it was kind of funny. The Brighton game was good, and then, as I think Gary alluded to, the 10-minute madness kind of cost us. And then Nunes got sold. We hadn't signed anyone, Barrett Doherty. Then we find ourselves 2-0 up away to a championship team, and all of a sudden we lose that. And kind of, I don't know, there was chance of O'Neill out, which of course were premature. Of course he wasn't going to fix Everton in what, 4 weeks? But it was just, it was just that. And then, funny enough, my opinion, Mateus Nunes actually kick-started our season by the sheer hostility of Molyneux that day against City. Like, I 100% believe that the fans, like, the players were good that day, but the fans were just, it was a proper hostile Molyneux atmosphere because of Nunes. And after that result, the belief that the players got, you kind of started seeing Neto, and he was unbelievable that day.
Yeah.
And you're almost like, right, because before the season, we didn't really know a lot about Neto because he'd just been so injured. He came back at the end of last season, wasn't really the best.
Yeah.
But against City and against Palace, against Liverpool, he was phenomenal, you know. And then you kind of had the signings of Bellegarde, and with new signings tend to please fans and get them a bit more positive. So certainly after that City performance, it was definitely all systems go after that.
Yeah, but Bellegarde certainly kind of hit the ground running against Liverpool in the first half. Yeah, anyway, they kind of ran out of steam.
And even when he got sent off against Luton, you know, like, if we had lost that Luton game, you could have, because they were a laughing stock at the time. I think they'd lost every game.
Yeah.
Like, if we had lost that, the pressure would have been even more. But to be fair to the players, like, they obviously really liked O'Neill, because it would have been easy just to kind of quit on a manager that early, due to the sheer negativity around the whole club at the time, you know. But no, they stuck with him, and I really think that city game kind of kick-started us.
When Johnny mentioned the City game, was it after the City game that Gary O'Neill went on Sky on the Monday night, was it?
What did
you think of that?
I thought that, like, reaffirmed to the fans, kind of like, Jesus, this lad actually is tactically really astute, like, because it's some of, like, he basically showed how we bet City, by picking up, I think it was Kovacic in around that middle, and he made that after the Bournemouth win, wasn't it, when we bet Bournemouth 2-1, I think it was.
I wasn't sure. I thought it was the City game.
No, it was the City match, because he did speak about the Bournemouth at a later stage.
Mickey, you were going to say something.
I think the whole season has changed for us, and I'll go back to an old nugget of mine. when we play with the three at the back, and it's improved beyond a doubt. Like, when we played Palace, he went with four at the back. We played West Ham, he had four at the back.
Yeah.
And the one thing about Manchester, we have beaten Manchester City quite a number of times over the number of years. Manchester City cannot, they have a huge problem playing with a team who plays three at the back.
Yeah.
And that, so he has seen that. Now, he does make blunders, but the great thing about him, he's not afraid to recover it.
Yeah, he rectifies them.
He done that at Bournemouth. Remember, he started at the first 70 and 80 minutes, they were a goal up, but they were hammering it. But he changed it fairly quickly. And then we got control of the game, and we got back and won the game. But that's what I like about O'Neill. But I think for the players he has, like, you're looking at Semedo, you're looking at these lads are playing out of their skin. They're playing in the system that suits them.
Yeah.
And I don't think he can change it again. Unless the only way he changes it is if he does get players in that suits the forward and back, because when we went with forward and back, the two centre backs have been destroyed for pace.
Yeah.
I think
you know, to his credit, though, he tried, and wherever it seems to be coming from somewhere, I don't know. For the last 3 years, four at the back seems to be rearing his head every now and again, and when it doesn't work, then we switch back. But he's contrary to what I would have thought as a type of manager, you know, a new young manager and all that, I thought he'd be a bit cautious, but actually he seems to be willing to make change straight away if he sees a problem, you know, rather than say leave it at half time or leave it, and you know, he seems to make the changes fairly quickly.
Tony, just to say, I think the difference between O'Neill and the previous three managers, Nuno, Bruno and Lopetegui, is that he can combine the five at the back with attacking.
Yeah.
You know, I know Nuno, we used to break with Nuno, but, you know, we used to have to joke about not bother going to the game till half time because there was no point, because we wouldn't do anything in the first half.
Yeah.
Whereas, I mean, right from the kickoff, O'Neill has him. He's got a game plan that suits the group, and he utilises the strengths of the group. You know, the running power of Cunha and Neto in particular.
Yeah.
But the players that we brought last year have been superb. That goes down to Lopetegui bringing them in.
Well, we got rid of the ones that were no good. That was a good thing.
Yeah. But the thing is that, what do you call it? You look at, you were over there the other day. You heard some of the opposition supporters were saying, but we have a fantastic midfield.
Yeah.
We have a number of players there that other clubs don't have. You take it, Lamina came in. Yes, he had to get settled in there. Then you had, Gomez took a one to settle in. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you look at the game we played last weekend. We didn't have Dawson at the back. We didn't have the two boys in the midfield after 10 minutes that we normally had there.
Yeah.
We didn't have So all of a sudden, and I agree with to an extent what Rob says, we have a lot of good players there. We don't need many years.
Well, particularly at the moment with the African Nations and the Asian Cup on, and with Gomez now suspended, a lot is probably a phrase we can't use because we're probably short on players now. Luckily enough, we kind of have a game a week going forward, so we'd probably be able to stretch him out, you know.
Tony, just on, I think the biggest payment you can give to O'Neill, or the biggest attribute he has, is how he's improved the players that are currently there.
Yeah.
Like I've probably never seen Kilman play so well. Nori is just out of this world.
Yeah.
Cunha's finishing last year was diabolical, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He always tended to lean back and sky. If you seen his shot, would have ended up in row Z, row Y. This year, much better finishing.
Yeah.
Dawson seems to have improved Dawson again. Huang all of a sudden is what, four top goal scorer in the Premier League. Like this was the lad we wanted to get rid of.
It's funny, Johnny. The one thing I find about Huang, one thing that hasn't really changed that much is his ability to give the ball away. You know, he's scored more goals, but he's still making those little mistakes that, you know, in the opposition half.
Absolutely. But, you know, those goals are priceless to us. So we'll allow him to make. And you're right. There was a period there when he just wasn't performing, and the goals were kind of just papering over the cracks slightly. But he had seemed to, since the Chelsea game, he was really good against Chelsea. Really good against Everton, I thought. So he seems to kind of regain a bit. But I think the improvement that O'Neill has made from the players that were there previous to Lopetegui, because while Lopetegui got really good results, and don't get me wrong, he was a really good manager, the football we played under wasn't, like, it wasn't that attractive, to be honest.
It was functional, I think, is the word people use.
Functional is probably the ideal word to use. Like, we got results, but really, if you look back at it, some of the stuff we played was turgid. Whereas O'Neill, we're getting results and we're playing really nice football, you know?
There's
a huge difference, Tony, in the circumstances. You must remember, as I said, I did say to you last year, that a lot of those players that come in, they've never been involved in a relegation battle. We were four points adrift at the bottom. Now, we'd lost the first game, we were 7 points adrift. So all the time those lads are playing under pressure, that's number one. The number two, it takes lads time to settle into a club. And we're seeing them. But if you looked at pre-season, I thought that it looked pretty good. And that's what was sickening me. But I take my hat off to O'Neill because he's kept it going. He makes mistakes. He changes. And to me, looking at that side, you know, you have to be so confident watching that. We have about five players there that have the quality that will win you a game with a goal out of nothing. Now, they might not score 10 or 15 goals a season, but they'll get you a goal that will win the game.
Yeah.
And that's what's been happening.
And, Mick, I think it's something, too, to bear in mind that, like, I mean, I believe in stats to a certain degree. I don't believe 100% that they actually reflect what happens. But two of the things I've noticed this year is, like, Hwang, with the goals Hwang has scored, I was just having a look there a couple of weeks ago, I think we've got something about 14 points from his goals have won games for us. Cunha wouldn't have been, a couple of the goals he scored early on would have been when we were beaten by Palace, you know, in two games that we lost. But he wouldn't have had as much. But I mean, at one stage, I think there a couple of months ago, Cunha, he had the best over five games or something. He had three goals and two assists. He was the best in the Premier League. So he's improved massively this year, as Johnny was saying. You know, he seems to be, I don't know, he was just getting the ball and running a lot of the time, whereas now he seems to have kind of settled down and he picks his moments to run with the ball, you know, which is great. Gary, what were your players of the so far this season that have made a difference, like you were talking about there?
As I said, the big difference to me is the you know, the anticipation when certain players get the ball that we will cause the opposition problems and you know, go on and create chances, which was the bit that was kind of missing.
Yeah.
Or the entertainment value was pretty poor prior to. Certainly the last, you know, seven or eight games. I agree with what Johnny said earlier, that City was the turning point and kind of gave people belief that, I think his appearance on television, while I thought about, is that actually a good thing to be doing to just, you know, indicate how you go about approaching the opposition? But as for him as an individual and for the impression it gave the amount of people I've just said, who've come to me and said, I saw your manager on Monday Night Football and I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think his work wonders for him. I did question the sense in actually giving away your tactics. But look, I think I'd agree again with Johnny, he has improved the players. And I think the big thing is the way we approach the game now. And whereas before you couldn't see us getting a goal, now I can't see us being held scoreless. Okay, West Ham was a bit of a disaster, all right, but I think that was a one-off in hindsight, you know. They were sick, whether there was a sickness bug in the camp that time, I don't know, but
there seemed to be, and the problem is, if it was, you know, with us being who we are and where we are, if it was Man United, you would have had pictures from, you know, doctors, reports and everything. It would have got a half an hour feature on Sky. Whereas I think even our own fans seem to treat that virus or whatever it was as, you know, we were just bad on the day. But I mean, it made it to me, just picking the one particular match, that West Ham game, I thought when I saw Totti running back trying to catch up with Kudos and that, like, he just didn't seem to, like, so it looked, and it all, when you look back at it, you'd say there was definitely something in the camp that day. Even Bellegarde didn't seem to be on his game. So, you know, when something like that goes through, we know ourselves when you've a word that's going around, what can happen. Yeah, so we're kind of looking good now at this stage, 28 points. January, I think we're all hoping we might pick up a centre-forward, seeing how we're getting rid of one or two. From what I've heard, things look like they're going to be quiet on the transfer front.
I don't think they go centre-forward, Tommy. I don't think they go after centre-forward. Because the reason Silva and the reason Sasa, you know, were let out, they're not getting game time. And the reason they're not getting game time is not playing with a centre-forward.
Yeah, yeah.
So why would he get rid of two and then bring another, spend a lot of money bringing another a centre-forward? Yeah, he might want a forward midfielder.
Yeah.
But that's the way, because we don't play with an out-and-out striker.
Yeah. But I just think, like, it, you know, it's just the fact that one I suppose isn't ready yet, and you still can't depend on Sasa. I think, you know, that injury, I think, is still in everyone's mind, and that if he play him too much, he'll break down again, and that could be the end of him, like, you know. So
to me, it's simple. I think the logic is relatively simple in that the Quang's gone, you know, potentially for a month. That what you could do, the option there would be put a Danny Ings in the middle and then Pedro and Cunha either side.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Why did you pay 150,000 a week for Danny Ings when he's more times on the bloody operating table?
I don't think we'd pay that. I don't think we'd pay that wages anyway, Mick, to be honest.
I think he'd certainly take a pay cut if he came. I think he certainly would.
I definitely think
we need a forward option. Like, if you can't be relying really on Neto because of his injury history, which would only really leave you with Cunha, Sarabia and Bellegarde in the absence of Wang.
But what about the young fella, young Farmer? Listen, I've watched this young fella. This young fella has everything going for him. And I think your man now, he's hedging whether he's going to let him out on loan, because if he doesn't get in a centre-forward, he's going to stick with him and he will play him.
Yeah.
He has all the... He is so big, so quick, and cause so much hassle. But these lads, like, he's about 18, 19. These eight were bringing in Neto, and we're throwing him in there. And that's what O'Neill is. O'Neill would give the young lads a chance.
Yeah.
To bring in the likes of Danny Ings, to me, changes the whole structure what we're about. And who will you drop? Would you leave Cunha out for him? Would you leave out Wang when he comes back? Or what's the story?
I think he might be a 20-minute, 15 minutes at the end option, you know.
It's not about dropping anyone out. It's just about having an option to change the game with 15 to go, 20 to go. I think it's a huge ask for Farmer to step up. I think instead of him staying for getting 15 minutes on the bench for his development, it would be much more beneficial to him go out and play 90 minutes every Saturday, to be perfectly honest.
I think Wolves are going to bring them in. That's right, what they're about. And to bring Danny Ings in to me, he can't even get a fucking game with West Ham. He plays every club he's played with, he started off well, and next thing he's in the reserves. And he has a lot of clubs. To me, it's a waste of money, and it will cause problems within the club.
Well, we'll see when we'll see if it happens, you know. If it does, if it doesn't, then. Like, but I think, you know, the problem with the Premier League is it's very tough to throw in a young lad, you know. I mean, even that lad that got a few minutes at the end on, you know, last against Brentford there, like, he just, you know, he was doing a lot of running around, and, you know, it's a tough job. But anyway, just to finish up, halfway through the season, we've another half to go, more or less. We're still in the cup. So, Gary, what's your hopes for the rest of the season?
Well, I'd my feeling would be that we've a chance in any game we play.
Yeah.
But I did think that before West Ham, and, you know, it was so disappointing that day. But if there's background reasons, I mean, I'd be glad to hear them if they're there. Yeah, compared to earlier in the season where it really was a hit and miss, you know, you were great for half a game. We're better for longer periods in the game now. And I think we can compete in literally every game and cause the opposite problems. I think we can score against anyone, which is like, just couldn't say that before, you know. But yeah, I'd be hopeful. I'd love a run in the cup, but, you know, I think O'Neill seems to be giving it some priority, but I don't know. It's luck on the day, you know. So yeah, we'd see. I'd love a run in the cup. All right.
Yeah, it's kind of spreading out with lads' suspensions and guys away. I suppose it's kind of trying to kind of spread out what we have, the players we have left. You know, that's for the game. So Johnny, what's your hopes for the rest of the season?
I think the next 3 league games are really, really important in regards to whether we're going to challenge for Europe or whether it'll just the season will fizzle out. Brighton away, United home, and Chelsea away. Like, yeah. if you get 5 points there, you're really in with a shout. Like, yeah. The Brighton away, Brighton have only kept 1 clean sheet all season, so probably fancy our chances to get a couple there. And like, if you beat Brighton away, you have United at home on a Thursday night. Like, we all know how fickle United are. We all know how beatable they are. It's important that we get our players back as well. Like Aiden Ori is a huge loss for us because he has the ability to manipulate the ball so well that he can kind of beat a press purely with his dribbling alone.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's important that we get Wang back as well.
Yeah.
You know, a cup run would be great. It's kind of hard to kind of envisage one at the moment, yeah. Even with it being just a third round. I do think we'll beat Brentford, and then, Jesus God, hopefully we will beat West Brom.
Yep.
And I suppose the other Premier League teams have kind of drawn each other, like Chelsea got Villa and Spurs got City. So so look, an FA Cup run is always welcome.
Yeah.
But I think this team has a real potential to get, like, even if you got into the Conference League, you know, it adds excitement for the year ahead. It brings players in that you probably couldn't have got previously. And it is actually crazy that we are talking about halfway through the season that we're talking about Europe. And it's kind of testament to how well O'Neill has done, really.
Without else, yeah. Thanks, Johnny. Mick, final word, last minute. What's your hopes?
My thinking it. He keeps playing with the 3 at the back. We don't have Rob Nutt. We haven't won a game. All our bad games have played with 4 at the back. He changed it, and that's a fact. He hasn't won one with the forward at the back, and that's why 8 years he's played out with skin. Last year he was having trouble because the lad is a wing back, not a full back, and the football they're playing is fantastic at the minute.
Yeah.
How quick they're able to get forward, these players. They're all on top of the game. And I'd be very confident that, we certainly have a chance of getting in Europe with the story we have.
Yeah.
And I think you could also get a decent enough cup run. They're difficult enough games. But I think they're winnable. You
know, very much so. All right, lads, thanks a million. It's our fourth one for a while, and plenty to chew on there. Johnny, Gary... Mick.
Perfect, lads.
Thanks, Emil.
Right, Gary, go off and go off to your match.
All right, we just
have lads. All the best.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.